Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt Sprague of Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan in the Fan Sports Network. Hello, good morning. Monday, everybody.
What is happening?
How you doing? Happy Father's Day. How was your weekend?
Father's Day, everybody. It was a delightful weekend, man. Got a couple of rounds of golf in. We went and played on Friday. That was fantastic.
Yes.
Out at Stone Creek. We had a great time.
Yes.
Played again yesterday for Father's Day. Missed the U.S. Open. Didn't think I was going to miss anything. And then I'm like, wait a minute. What?
So you golfed like right at the heart of it?
Dude, right in the middle of it. I missed the entire, to go back and watch last night. Missed the entire thing. Trying to, you know, you're checking on your phone. It's like, whatever. Well, whoever ends up winning, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
So go back and watch that last night. Jammed everything with the kiddo into Saturday. We had a full triple header of
activities. Have a good jams worth.
Got to have a good jams worth on a Saturday in between rounds of golf. It was a great Father's Day. What about you?
Pretty good. It flew by.
Went quick. 3-day weekend
Friday,
went fast.
Yeah, the Friday-Sunday just evaporated. I went on, I don't know why I did this, I didn't even plan to, but I woke up, I slept in every day, which I want to really capitalize on that.
You got to get as many Z's as you can,
man. I was like, I'm going to do yard work at 5 a.m. on Sunday, and then I woke up at 6, I'm like, the hell with this, went back to sleep.
That ain't happening.
I got up and I took the wife, and I'm like, do you want to run 2 miles with me? She's like, yeah. Did not want to.
No, that's a hard no, Bob.
Did it, had all these festivities planned, and then kind of like mid to early afternoon, my brother-in-law was like, yo, we got another tee time.
I was like,
we just golfed Friday.
We had just played Friday.
We'll get into the workings of that.
Yes.
I was like, I hadn't planned to do that. But yeah, I mean,
yeah, sure, it sounds great. Yeah.
And I'm not golfing well at all, but I'm like, yeah, I'll take golf.
So what the hell?
I had a golf round, and I ended up golfing later in the evening to the point where, on my way to the course, as I left the house, Wyndham was on 15.
So you were watching the end of it.
Well, I kept it on so I could hear it in the car.
Yeah, I listened to the audio of it.
And so I was able to hear him wrap it up as I pulled into the parking lot.
Perfect timing.
Before doing a tee time.
A little twilight golf on a Sunday night. It's not bad for anybody.
It was nice.
It was hot yesterday, too, a little bit. And then later in the day, got a little bit warm. The Father's Day rounds, I was surprised. I went and played yesterday, and I figured it was going to be absolute chaos for a Father's Day.
I think it was.
And it wasn't at all for me. We played the front nine in almost 2 hours. I think we were down in a little over four.
Yep.
I was shocked at how open it was.
Well, I don't know if I have no evidence for this argument.
Okay.
I'm almost wondering a theory of mine, which is I had no golf plan for this past weekend except the Friday, right? And I didn't even really initially think I was playing in that round.
Yeah.
And we'll get into the bitching out of it. We'll get to all of that. But I played last weekend with the assumption of this weekend was going to be too busy.
Let's jump ahead of everybody else.
And then some people backed out, and so I golfed Friday and then had no idea that I was going to golf. I ended up having 2 rounds in the weekend.
Nice little weekend right there. It is. I wonder if the theory is that people are worried about the thought that we had that Sunday was going to be a slow round of golf, and so you just avoid it altogether.
So you do it a week before, maybe 2 weeks out, or whatever it is. Maybe it's a Thursday of Father's Day week.
And then it ends up leading to a relatively quick Father's Day round.
Yeah.
Because everybody had the same thought of, oh, I'll play Friday, I'll play Saturday, I'll play the week before, I'll get my round in at some point around Father's Day, but then on actual Father's Day, it's wide open spaces, man. It was delightful.
Friday was really exceptional. It was a lot of fun. And for those that are maybe curious about it, so Friday was supposed to be our cargo short classic.
Yes, it was.
Now, I'm not really going to take too many shots. I'll just be honest about all of this, okay? The minute Joe Fisher called BS about Danny Meringue squatting, I don't know, 800 pounds, whatever he said that day, and Danny saying, I will literally beat you in any athletic endeavor. And it sparked an idea by Dirt to say, you guys both golf against each other.
You guys love playing golf. You both brag about your golf games. I hear Morang in here all the time telling me how about you striping the ball on the range. I'm like, here, challenge number one. We have clients and sponsors who are golf courses. This is easy. We'll figure it out.
I would more categorize Morang as the bragger and Joe more as like the just he loves to golf.
Yeah.
I don't really have Joe brag too much.
Joe brags a little bit.
Does he?
He's a little braggadocious about how he was hitting the ball. If I'm hitting the ball off the tee, I'm going to score. He gives you some of those takes from time to time.
Yeah, and if I had a short game, I'd be in the 80s.
Right. If I could putt, I would have broke 80 twice this weekend. That would have been cool.
If you want to help me in the 70 to 80 yards out range, I'd appreciate that. A lot of those situations pop up. We went over the green.
Yes, that happened.
But Friday was supposed to be a Danny versus Joe. We even had a listener reach out, and this was, I don't know if I talked about this. A listener reached out and offered to do the video recording, the audio, mic us up, put it on YouTube.
Do it pro bono, too.
And this was 2 months ago. Month and a half. It's called a month and a half. I think it was 6 weeks. And Dirt set it up, and initially it was supposed to be Saturday of this past weekend. Well, Danny can only do it one part of the day, and Joe can only do it the opposite part of the day. So Saturday wasn't going to work for their schedules. So Dirt, in remembering that we had Juneteenth off.
Yeah, we had an extra day. It's a three-day weekend.
Said, does June 19th work? We all have the day off. Does it work? Joe said, absolutely, no problem at all. Put it on the schedule. We literally asked Danny in the studio, and I am a witness. Patrick may have been a witness.
Witness.
Quote, yeah, that works great. I have nothing going on that day. So Dirt then behind the scenes is working and getting the gears going, and Luke is helping us.
Let's go book a tee time. Let's do it.
And our fine folks at Stone Creek, which delightful, love the course. It was dialed, U.S. Open level dialed this week. Said, hey, we'd love to have the Cargo Short Classic.
We'll host it. We're ready to go.
So they gave us a tee time. We had set everything up. And then about 3 weeks ago, we started to get an initial like, oh no, cold feet. Because there wasn't any commitment, even though we had an actual tee time on the day.
Can you play? I don't know. Can you play? I don't know. Can you play? I don't know.
I'll tell you by the end of the day. I'll tell you by the end of the day. I'll tell you by the end of the day. I'll tell you by the end of the day. I'll tell you by the end of the day. And by Thursday, and I am not exaggerating, not a word or look at Dirt and I at the exchange.
Nothing.
When we signed off on Thursday, going into the Friday of the Cargo Short Classic, we got our stuff. Patrick came here and was like, how you doing? And as we left, he didn't utter a word. In fact, completely ignored us.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Didn't text us.
Nothing.
Nothing. Knew the tee time. Told him the tee time. All week told us he'd let us know. Nothing. So we left here with the assumption, not going to play.
Not going to happen.
Cargo Short Classic falling flat on its face, as you per use in the Odyssey world.
Yes.
And so we thanked Stone Creek profusely, but we ended up going out there. Casey joined us.
Young Casey. Lowercase filled in.
Lowercase, good stick.
He's got good swing.
Dirt, and then I. And then we showed up, and we just ended up doing like a Ducks versus Beavs high-low game.
Yeah.
But we showed up maybe with the idea that maybe he'll show up.
Hey, maybe he'll be here. You never know.
Not a single text all Friday. Not a single, hey.
Sorry, guys.
Not going to make it.
Not going to be
hey.
Able to go.
Just a complete and utter silence. So, tomorrow is the Fan Golf Classic.
Yes, it is, Bob.
And I don't know about you.
I'm very excited for it. Out at Langdon all day tomorrow.
I can only speak for myself. My opinion is, you are not allowed to brag about a single athletic endeavor.
Ooh, no bragging allowed.
For, at a minimum, 5-year period.
In particular, golf. If I hear one comment about how well you're playing golf right now, it's going to get shot down out of the air immediately.
Immediately. I'm okay if somebody backs out. I think he said he had, he's like, it's my first day off with my girlfriend or something. I think that was the thing that I had heard, and I just thought, you're off at 1 o'clock. What's happening between 8 a.m. and 1 p.m.? Yeah, nothing. You're off at 1 o'clock.
We got two extra days afterwards.
The Blazers aren't playing. There's nowhere else to go.
Nothing happening.
Like, you're off at 1 o'clock. I don't know what it was. I'm going to assume it was something important. All I'm saying through all of this is at least, Dirt and I are pretty good at communicating when things get changed or moved around.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes it's not perfect. The day before, I'm like, dude, I'm out tomorrow. Or he'll text me at 5 a.m., I'm yakking. Turns out I can't make it.
Not going to make it in today.
I'm not going to be mad at that. Like, at least there's some notification or a vacation is planned.
Yeah, bit of an effort there.
Dude, we give you, we'll bust a little of your balls if you back out, but at least telling us would have been helpful and
hey,
nice.
By the way, guys,
courtesy.
Friday, not going to work.
I have
to pick another day for the Cargo Short Classic. I won't be able to play.
We got nothing. We got not a single thing. So we went out there. Stone Creek was absolutely dialed. U.S. Open conditions, which ate my lunch.
Yeah, I love that course, man. I haven't been out there in a year.
It was in great shape.
Fun to get back out there. The weather got a little hot, a little bit of a meat grinder there on the back nine.
It did.
We were all slowly unraveling on our golf rounds.
Yeah.
But it was perfect conditions. Great round. Didn't take too long. Nice little delightful walk. We had a wonderful time at Stone Creek on Friday.
We did. And we apologize also because Stone Creek was really kind in setting up the tee time with Luke. We apologize for not capitalizing. So what I have thought about, and I told this to Joe and you, since we have a listener, he seems kind of eager, this listener of like trying to dabble in making some kind of video stuff at the golf course.
You want to put it together for us? We'd love to have you do it.
I thought it'd be really fun to come up with something maybe in August. So that gives us all kind of time.
Sure.
Where maybe we can set up some version of doing a fan YouTube sort of content and actually capitalize on a situation.
I'd be all for it.
Where maybe you whip my ass and it's like Sprague versus Dirt, no strokes given. And it's like Dirt 81, Sprague 109. Like, damn, dude, that show's different.
You shot a 109, man. What the hell happened to you this week?
Yeah, well, I counted all the strokes. That's what happened.
We went out of bounds a couple of times.
How many balls did you lose?
Nine golf balls.
Nine.
Is that a niner in there? I catch a niner in there? I mean, look, I'd love to put the effort into setting up another date, but as I said, if the first one is ghosted and does not happen, my responsibility here is done.
Yeah.
I took
man.
The bull by the horns.
Yeah,
I tried to make it happen. It did not happen. We had to back out. And so if they want to be braggadocious and yelling at each other in the office about their athletic accomplishments, I'd like to see a little bit of effort on probably the person who backed out of saying, hey, why don't we pick another weekend that works so we can make this happen? And if you do that, tell me when the date is. Give me the course. I'll be there. I'll come hang around, watch golf if it works for me. But the planning and the effort part is out the window for me. I'm not doing that anymore.
He texted me on Tuesday last week. I'll let you know by the end of the day.
Yeah.
I didn't hear the rest of the week.
No, I asked him in person
on
Wednesday.
I saw him in person like three times.
I'll know today. Didn't hear a word. So thankfully for us, we are aware enough that when somebody's not being communicative.
We planned.
We planned ahead and we immediately, before we even knew, we asked lowercase, hey, do you want to come play golf on Friday?
Well, he popped his head out.
He was
like,
eagerly.
If he doesn't show, I'm in.
I'm ready to go. And for anybody wondering, for the hybrid high-low duck versus beaver game, the Ducks did win in a narrow battle.
Yeah,
me and Joe Fisher edged out Sprague in lowercase.
I certainly didn't
Friday.
Help lowercase is all I would say about that. I didn't in it. I don't know if I won a hole for our team.
You got some highs in there. There were some highs. You got a couple of highs in there.
Lowercase was really good and it was fun. We are debating if it counts as an official win. The funding discrepancy between Ducks and Beavs. We have some problems
Our
here.
NIL budget's a little bit higher
NIL
than yours.
NIL budget might have been a little bit,
we have a few more available scholarships.
Might have been swayed. You know, one person on the show had like three triples and two doubles and still shot an 82. The other person just had a lot of triples and doubles.
I did. We were joking with Joe on the opening hole. Joe had a rough start to his round on Friday.
Yeah.
At the hybrid asterisk cargo
that
short
first
classic.
Hole, I'm not even sure what he actually carded. And
I don't know.
I'm not calling him out. His score was pretty bad.
We just heckled him of, hey, you're lucky Danny ain't here right now, buddy. You hit a fairway bunker. That ball stayed in the fairway bunker.
Yep.
Barely got it out of the fairway bunker. Somehow hit his, then what, fourth shot onto the second tee box.
Which is a downhill tee box.
Hit it back up onto the green.
Yeah.
Hey, you're lucky. You'd be down 1-0, I got a feeling right now. But you never know, I guess.
I think that's the thing about it is, one, I do appreciate, even if you're a bad golfer, which we're all bad golfers by varying degrees.
Everybody sucks to a different degree.
I at least appreciate showing up, and he didn't have his, he'll tell you he'd have his best round.
No.
I do want to commend Stone Creek.
Yes.
For U.S. Open week, they really participated.
Yeah, it was tough.
If you got off the rough even a little bit, that ball's gone. Good luck. You ain't finding it in that tall stuff.
A little deep out there, baby.
So they did a really good job dialing in the U.S. Open conditions. He at least showed up.
He was there. He was battling.
He was battling.
It was a meat grinder.
And you know what? The thing that sucks, I think, for the other side of that is, if Danny's game is as dialed as he says it is,
he would have smoked him on Friday.
Or at least he probably could have won.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I think Joe ended up right around triple digits, if I remember correctly.
He did. Me and Joe were in the triple digits.
You were both in triple digits?
Yeah, okay. He had a horrendous round.
I couldn't remember if he – I remember him talking about what he needed to break his 100, and I couldn't remember if he did it or not.
And actually, minus hole one, he actually had a good front.
He
went into the ninth hole.
He was playing well.
At 39.
He did. And then
so he had a lot of pars.
He had a rough ninth hole.
The ninth hole blew up.
Ninth hole ate us all alive.
And then the back, just completely obliterated 90% of the group?
Yeah. It was a slow bleed. That's usually how it goes at Stone Creek.
I know. Those holes.
You got to hang in there in the front, and then you go into the gauntlet, and you just pray for life after that. It usually doesn't happen.
So I don't know what to do with this. Everybody at the station's going to have to make their own decisions. I don't even know what he's going to say when we see him today. Is he going to ignore us? I don't know.
I got to imagine he's going to get a little chirps tomorrow. Have fun out at the Fan Golf Classic tomorrow.
I don't want any show beef. All I'm just simply saying is, like, at least have the courtesy to say you're out.
To communicate. I will not be there.
Just kicking it down the can and then, like, not saying a single word.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And then not showing up. It's just like, come on, man.
Send a text. Hey, man, not going to be able to make it. Let's pick another date.
That's all it would have taken.
I'll still be upset, and I'll still say you could probably find time to do it, but... All right, at least he gave us the heads up.
I have no idea how tomorrow's going to go for him at the Fan Golf Classic.
I don't either. That could be his punishment for backing out. He's not allowed to hit a shot tomorrow.
I mean...
You should have got all your swings in on Friday.
If I'm a listener...
This is your Odyssey 105.1 The Fan fine. You're not allowed to bring clubs.
If I'm a P1 not working at the station and I show up to the Fan Golf Classic tomorrow and he offers... I, as a P1, am saying...
Nah, man, I'm good.
Nah,
man, I'm good.
I want people who show up to their tee
time. Are you going to back out of this shot before you hit it? Are you going to go stand by the ball and then go sit back down under the tent and then not tell me you're not going to hit the ball?
No.
Is that going to be a thing?
That, from a comedic standpoint, that is hilarious to think about him having a little bit of the waggles at the ball.
And be like, nah.
And then just backing away and going and sitting down.
Not even saying anything. Are you going to hit the ball? Nope.
Okay. Nothing?
Is somebody else going to hit this one? No. Okay. Do I got to go pick that up? Whose ball is that? Is this my shot? I'm confused.
I don't know, man. It was a fun time, though. We had a great time.
Friday was a lot of fun. It's always fun getting together, playing a fun game. Stone Creek was in great shape. And it started off a nice little three-day weekend, man. But when you play two rounds of golf, it goes pretty quick because that eats up a lot of your time on the weekend.
It does. Did you get a cool gift?
I mean, you know me, man.
I know your gift policy, but did she get you anything?
She paid for my round of golf yesterday.
That's great.
Which is perfect.
That's perfect.
I wanted to play golf on Father's Day. Can you pony up and do that? Because I don't need anything else. So if you want to buy me something.
Do you guys have a shared account?
We do have a shared account, yeah. I also considered that as well.
Well, whatever.
It's the gesture, right? Here's cold hard cash for your round of golf. Thank you.
My wife got me new golf shoes, which were great.
There you go.
Some blue Air Maxes.
Hello.
Very comfortable.
Hello.
And I thought you'd enjoy this. I should have shot you a photo of it. She got me a golf shirt. She got me the Brooks Koepka pink striped shirt that we literally made fun of on Thursday's program.
Follow-up question, because you texted this to me yesterday and I started laughing out loud.
Yeah.
Was she aware of the conversation?
No.
Did you tell her about
she
the conversation?
She ordered that shirt a couple, like it was
But after
Tuesday.
Opening it, did you acknowledge the conversation that happened on the air Thursday?
Oh, as soon as she opened it, I literally started laughing. And she was like, what? You don't like it? Because she thinks I don't know what this is. She thinks I wear super bright colors to golf. And I'm like, I don't.
You got to look good, feel good, play good.
I do want to buy more nice shirts. You know, my golf game attire is pretty bad, but...
Got to be flamboyant out there.
They think my last bad birdie shirt, they've basically called me... My daughter said I'm a gay version of my mom.
Oh, okay.
She says, you look like your mom, but you're a gay man. And I said...
Thank you.
Can't wait to go this round. No.
No?
I think she's saying, like, I look very zesty in it.
Yes.
I was like... Oh, okay. She's like, you look like your mom. Looks like something your mom would wear to a brunch. My daughter's just slinging arrows at me.
I got no comeback.
So she gets me this pink shirt. I start laughing. I go, we literally made fun of this shirt the air Thursday. And she goes, really? And I go, yeah, I'm not wearing that.
You're not going to wear that.
But she ended up getting me the golf shoes, which was delightful.
Of all the shirts to show up.
Of all the shirts.
Like of all the millions of golf shirts that you could choose from. It just, we have not made fun of a PGA Tour player's outfit in God knows how long on the show. And Thursday morning, we look up, U.S. Open's teeing off, and Brooks is wearing a pink striped shirt. And we both had the same reaction of, what the hell is he wearing?
Yeah.
What happened to Nike's gear? And then there it is on Sunday morning.
I also don't know what to make of my youngest giving me, she made me two cards, which is great. She put $20 in a box.
Oh.
Just 20.
Just
straight up 20.
Straight up 20.
I was like, I'm going to give this back. She goes, no, it's your gift. And I was like, okay.
I mean, I'm not mad about it.
I'll take your $20.
I mean, I don't really need anything. I'll stop and get a snack on the way home, I guess.
We could have lunch. I don't know.
Here's my Celsius for the week. Maybe go buy a couple on my way home.
Oh, man.
Well, I ended up at Oaks Park for the first time in like 20 years this weekend, and that was a walk down memory lane that I have.
It's a lot different if you've
been
in a minute.
It's been a minute, dude. And it is a lot different, and the little guy had an absolute blast, dude.
That's good.
Yeah, dude, riding a little car. Cars, little motorcycles around.
Did he do the little mini roller coaster?
No, he did not do the mini.
Not ready for that one
yet?
Not
quite ready for that one. We did the choo-choo train three times, though. We did that choo-choo train all around, you know?
Choo-choo!
It's a great time. Great Father's Day weekend.
Nice Father's Day. It's great to have everybody in today. Brandon filling in for Swag. We are off tomorrow, and then because of the Fangolf Classic.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Sick. We're back Wednesday, so it's kind of a weird, slightly interrupted week, but we look forward to tomorrow. Let's get it going. There's a lot to talk about today. Let's start with the U.S. Open.
Let's do it.
An Oregon Duck is a two-time U.S. Open champion.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the reaction a lot of people had. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan. Hey, welcome back in. 626 on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Monday, everybody. Quickly, I want to mention one more time, the 12th Annual Fangolf Classic presented by Toyota is sold out. So make sure next year you get your foursome ready when we announce. We'll have breakfast burritos tomorrow for all the P1s.
Hell yeah, I'm going to pound two of those things.
Matt's Barbecue for the post-round celebration. We'll be hanging out at the 6th hole, Angels Envy Bourbon Par 3. If you want one of us to take a tee shot, you're more than welcome. Odds are you're going to do better than us. We had a hole-in-one a couple years ago from that one. Fan Golf Classic presented by Toyota is also brought to you by Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors, George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law, Battery Exchange, Maestro Dobel Tequila, Laurel Horse Market Steakhouse, Butcher Shop, Philbrook Law, 1-800-DIVORCE, Roto-Rooter, Ely Gal Mezcal, Pub Beer Cheap Fun, Apex Golf Club, and Window Nation.
I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Oh, see you tomorrow. Who is that?
That's our young Hansen.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Oh.
From his introductory press conference last year.
Speaking of golf, we had the U.S. Open.
Yes, we did.
I want to play audio from it. I have thoughts on it. I want to hear your thoughts on it.
Yes.
Is this a U.S. Open we'll remember?
No.
No. Is that because of the winner or because just in general?
I think it's a combination of a couple things.
Seemed to be a temper tantrum U.S. Open. A lot of anger at Shinnecock from fans and golfers.
A lot of frustration. The crowds were pretty bad for the majority of the weekend. Now, to be fair to them, Shinnecock is in New York.
Yep.
It's a bitch to get to. And I don't know if you're aware of this. There's a couple of big sporting events going on right now in and around the area. We had an NBA Finals parade this week. There's World Cup games. I know those are in New Jersey. But if you're a paying sports fan or somebody who's engaged in this stuff, that's probably at the top of your mind. You got two Major League Baseball teams going on right now. Like, there's just a lot. And so when you combine the idea of getting there and getting back, especially for those who live in New York City, and then with the tee times, that was the biggest shocker to me. So I'm sitting around. The most I watched was probably Friday. I caught a good chunk of it Saturday, and then yesterday I was golfing, so I had to catch up in the aftermath. But I was shocked, and I don't know if they did this the last time. I can't remember. It was at Shinnecock. If why the tee times for the last group were so late. They didn't tee off until our time. I woke up Saturday morning, and I'm like, all right, what time do leaders go off? Leaderboard's interesting. They didn't tee off till close to 1 o'clock our time on Saturday.
Yeah.
1 o'clock in the afternoon. This thing's in New York.
Yep.
Like, they're finishing basically at the end of the day. The sun is going down.
Yeah, they were racing.
And there's, like, only so many trains that are leaving that area to go back into Manhattan or wherever you're going. And so by the time Wyndham Clark finished his round on Saturday, go watch the highlight. He hit a 3-wood. In there for an eagle. That is one of the most impressive shots I've seen in a major in the last, like, five. It was insane,
absurd,
dude. Like, he added more slice to take yardage. Insane 3-wood shot. You know what it sounded like on TV?
Yeah.
Now there's like 12 people around. It was in, and this was a, the but
are
leader.
More, are more people
finishing?
So this kind of gets to the audio segment of this. Does are there more people there if it's not him?
I mean, of course, if it's
he's
Scotty
one
or
of the
Rory,
least liked players yeah. on the tour right now.
If it's Rory or Scotty, obviously the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, I also feel like people enjoy rooting against a villain. Like there's an entertaining aspect of that.
There definitely
and he
was.
He damn near blew it yesterday, and everybody's rooting for him to blow it. I think it combined for a lot of things. Of Shinnecock is one of the best U.S. Open sites. Mm-hmm. I thought they lost the course a little bit on Thursday, and they were too conservative in their watering and their speed of the greens, and that led to, in my opinion, Wyndham Clark winning this championship, but we can get into that. But all in all, I it's unfortunate. We had a Masters champion that was Rory. Back-to-back years only happened a couple of times in the history of the tournament. And then you had Aaron Ryan, a runaway freight train that nobody will remember at the PGA Championship. And I don't know, maybe if Wyndham goes on...
I already had forgotten about
exactly.
That.
Exactly. If Wyndham wins like five majors, maybe it's one we remember yeah. like, hey, okay, remember that? He won his second U.S. Open at Shinnecock.
He needs a different major.
Yeah, if he wins another
We've
one, it piles
about
it up.
That before.
But if this ends up being the only one, because you never know when it's your last one,
yeah.
Five years from now, you will not remember Wyndham Clark winning a U.S. Open.
Five of the last six U.S. Open winners. This is a fun fact.
Yeah, what do you
five
got?
Of the last six have won the U.S. Open by one stroke.
And it did not look like it was going to be one stroke. And then all of a sudden, this thing got a little tight.
Yeah, we kept monitoring it Friday when we were out at our round. And we're like, holy crap, look at his round. He's 7-under.
A couple other guys would get to three. Like Rory was at three again on Friday. And then he finished 1-over. Like he just, you know, nobody could put it all together.
I was keeping up, but I was largely out, you know, of watching Saturday's festivities. I saw the highlights. I saw the shot you spoke of. And then I watched a lot of Sunday. I wouldn't say I watched all of Sunday. I watched a lot of Sunday.
Ended up being at least an entertaining day.
Dude, I don't know how Burns is putt on 18. Yeah.
That should have dropped.
Or was it 17?
18. He had the birdie putt on 18 to get to 4-under.
17 was just a bad putt.
Yes.
And that's like 7 feet away. Like, he hit it scared. It wasn't even close.
He hit it really scared on 17.
And then 18 was just...
I don't know how it didn't drop.
I don't know how that didn't fall.
It literally looked like it was middle cup.
It was halfway over the
edge. And then like one dimple, it just took it completely off and hit the edge.
I felt bad for him when that didn't go down.
Well, what was interesting to me is somebody that doesn't follow as closely, I had forgotten about the Wyndham Clark locker room story. That he had tore apart a locker room and he got
last year at the U.S. Open.
For it, yeah, right?
He got in a lot of hot water.
He got banned from that club, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, it's not your clubhouse and you're destroying multiple lockers. What are we doing?
Well, he doesn't have a good attitude. A lot of golfers right now seem to be on the PGA Tour don't have good attitudes. We're seeing a lot of the, you know, golf decorum kind of go out the window with some of these guys.
Had a two-stroke penalty on Thursday, for Joaquin Niemann.
Niemann had it. We saw Rahm not get hit one. He kicked his club. I don't know how he
Dustin
didn't get
Johnson
one.
Johnson had a... meltdown at one point. I'm just like, whoa.
Dustin Johnson just absolutely melted down. Wyndham Clark was being booed and not being cheered very much at the end of this thing. So even while he is up, he's holding a dominant lead. He starts to kind of give into it a little bit. He's playing with Scottie Scheffler, who's obviously a favorite to complete the Grand Slam at the U.S. Open. And Wyndham Clark ends up winning it, and there wasn't a whole lot of people super stoked about it. Here's Wyndham Clark post-round talking about winning despite nobody cheering for him.
Man, they definitely didn't want me to win. it's pretty rare in an open championship or a major to have fans kind of boo against your shots or cheer for bad shots. That was tough. But I also sometimes being the underdog is nice. I was in 23. And I kind of did the same thing. And anytime someone said something negative to me, I replaced it with something positive. And, and some of it's self-deserved. I kind of brought it on myself. But I also get it, too. I mean, Scotty was going for the career Grand Slam, and that hasn't happened very often. So, it was tough. But I'm proud of myself that I battled through. I mean, things really could have gotten away from me. And I stood tough. And, I would have liked to win by more. But as long as you win, it doesn't matter.
More disliked duck, Dylan Brooks or Wyndham Clark?
Which one am I quicker to claim?
Oh, that's a great way of putting it.
Because everybody hates both
Which
of
one
them.
Are you quicker to claim?
Better question.
It might be Dylan Brooks.
You're quicker to claim Dylan Brooks because he was part of a Final Four team?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Also, he just kind of is, he leans into his shtick.
He's kind of been this way since college, whereas I didn't know who Wyndham Clark was in college. I don't follow college golfing.
Yeah.
I didn't really know who he was till he won his first U.S. Open, to be really bluntly honest.
I didn't even know
he was a duck until he won the U.S. Open the first time.
It's a very inside golf thing. Like, he last year, when he destroyed the lockers, and by the way, that's not the only thing that he's done. He at one point threw a driver and a damn near hit a volunteer on a tee box.
Masters.
He destroyed a tee marker at a tournament once and snapped his driver head. Like, he has had this issue for a while. And when I thought he handled this weekend very well. And I thought all of his quotes in the aftermath of it were really solid. The way he handled the incident when it happened last year was embarrassing, and it made more people dislike him because he basically went on a rant about how it wasn't his fault and people get fiery and why am I the only one being held accountable for this? And he didn't take any of the blame or any of the onus. Now, in the aftermath, when people started booing him, he slowly started to do that and acknowledge that, like, hey, I did this to myself. I need to get better. I shouldn't be having these blow-ups and these temper tantrums. It was a frustrating weekend for that regard. It was also a frustrating weekend because I felt like he won the tournament based on his tee time on Thursday, and that's unfair to him.
Yeah.
Because he was outstanding, and he made a lot of great par saves. Even yesterday, when he played pretty bad, he had a lot of nice par saves all the way down the stretch when he needed to and ended up winning the tournament. But if you go back and look at Thursday, so they kept the greens a lot slower than they usually do at a U.S. Open because they were concerned about the wind. And you don't want to, it's a golf phrase, you don't want to lose the course, right? Because once the greens get to a certain point, you can't bring them back over a two-day stretch.
Right.
And so they were very cautious with what they did to the greens on Thursday. He just happened to have a late tee time, and he's playing. He was one of those groups at the very end of the day, and he went on a run on his last, like, six holes where he went, because he didn't finish his full first round.
He had to finish the next day.
So he started on the back nine. He birdied 18, parred one, bogeyed two, and then he went birdie, birdie, eagle. So in a...
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
You know, seven-hole stretch, if you will. You're talking about a guy who was 5 under par in seven holes. The greens were slow. The wind died down. The conditions were really calm, and he ate it alive.
Yeah.
What did he finish for the entire tournament?
Four.
Yeah. He was 5 under in a 6-hole stretch late on Thursday, and then basically just played even par the rest of the weekend, and that was good enough to win. And so that combined with just kind of his douchiness, it made for a frustrating weekend. I don't know him personally, but he's not a guy as a duck that I root for aggressively, and I did not want to see him win this weekend. When Burns was chasing him down, when Tom Kim had a chance to win, like, dude, those would be better stories for me, finding a way to win this U.S. Open.
Yeah.
But he ultimately survived and got it done yesterday.
Yeah, I wanted almost anybody else to win. Wyndham Clark does it. Scottie Scheffler was playing with Wyndham Clark, and here he was talking about Wyndham Clark being booed during the round.
I mean, the crowd was tough today. I mean, New Yorkers, they're tough people. There was a good turnout from the fans. You know, you like seeing the fans cheer for you. I think sometimes it can get a little too much when, you know, balls are kind of going off greens and you start hearing cheers. That felt a bit much to me. But at the end of the day, you know, I can't control fan behavior. It's being in the arena is not for everybody. You know, there's been crowds that have been for me in my career. There's been crowds that have been significantly against me in my career. You know, I think of Port Rush was a scenario for me where, you know, Rory's in his hometown, or not his hometown, he's in Ireland and not far from where he grew up, and crowds can be tough, and being in the arena is not for everybody. And, you know, I think it shows a lot about Wyndham, how he handled not only this golf course, but I think the crowd today as well, and is a, you know, well-deserving champion.
Look, anger in golf is not a new thing. I don't want to try to play revisionist history here, but it does feel like right now it's as loud as I can recall where there's so many people outwardly showing their anger and frustration. Yeah.
Losing their cool.
And what do you think that is about? Like,
who knows, man.
Some of these guys have been around for a hot minute. It's not like they're 20 years old and new to the tour.
Yeah, some people want to point it back to the, you know, the Tiger era. He was one of the first people who was very vocal in his displeasure after shots and had no problem swinging clubs or throwing clubs or, you know, yelling F-bombs and all that. And you have a generation of golfers who grew up watching him. I just, there's an aspect of it where, like, I always chuckle with this in the NBA when guys commit a foul and they immediately turn around and argue. And it's like, do you realize it's 2026? We have 8,000 cameras pointed at the floor. We're all going to see the replay in slow motion. And you know, like, you know whether you fouled. You know if you got hand or what, you know, if you did something you shouldn't have done. That's the funny part about this for me. Like, you think you're going to get away destroying something or throwing a club?
Yeah.
There's cameras all over the place. We're going to see every second of it. Like, go blow off your steam after a round or scream into a pillow or go to a gun range, whatever you need to do to get your anger out. Find a way to stay calm, cool, and composed on the course. Mm-hmm. And that's one where guys are just losing it more and more. I don't know what the exact, you know, psychology of it is, but it's not fun to watch, and I do think it leads to a bad example. There's way too many people on their average Saturday rounds who watch this stuff on TV, and they go out there and they do the same thing. And those people are just not fun to play with. If you're yelling and bitching and throwing clubs and slamming things down the entire time, that's not an enjoyable round of golf for anybody.
No.
And so that part of it was frustrating this weekend. I will give Wyndham credit, though, man. The entire crowd's behind you. You found a way to hang in there, especially, but he played bad yesterday, especially early in that round.
He was lucky Burns missed that putt, man. I don't know if he wins in a playoff.
He might not have, and it would have gone
to
18-hole playoff today for a U.S. Open. So you're tied. You go to you sleep on it all night, you go to the course the next day and play 18 holes.
So we could have had World Cup, final game of the College World Series in baseball with Oklahoma and North Carolina, and a playoff of the U.S. Open.
18-hole playoff.
We got robbed of a great
Tiger
Monday.
And Rocco famously back in 2008. He tied it on 18. They go to an 18-hole play. It's one of the best playoffs because you get a full extra day of golf. It's delightful. But it's unfortunate, man. Hopefully the Open Championship gives us a better champion and a more compelling storyline. This one at least got tight yesterday. I had zero interest in watching until I saw the leaderboard halfway through the round and said, oh, all right, it tightened up because he was up with a massive lead and those usually don't get blown in golf tournaments.
All right, Wyndham Clark wins the U.S. Open, his second major championship. It's his second U.S. Open. A lot more to get into. We'll dive into the extravaganza of the NBA offseason today. We got some football stuff and some notes to get to today. Dirt and Sprague back with more 641 on the Fan. Got a lot to dive into today.
By the way, point of correction from a listener and Brandon. I did not realize they changed the playoff format of the U.S. Open. It's no longer an 18-hole playoff. Cowards.
They eliminated that, huh?
We haven't had a playoff in forever, so I hadn't even thought about it. I did not remember that rule change. It's just a two-hole aggregate playoff now. When did we go so soft?
Poll question is up. Which duck are you more likely to claim first, Dylan Brooks or Wyndham Clark? I think that is a great question.
I'd still lean Dylan Brooks.
I can't.
He got to a Final Four, man. Basketball. Maybe that's it. Basketball is just
Wyndham
a bigger.
What did Wyndham Clark do at Oregon? Did he ever?
He might have been on the national championship team, to be honest with you.
So he won you natty.
I mean, he did.
Are you going to poo-poo an Oregon Duck?
Would
golf
you rather
natty?
Have a golf national championship or a Final Four?
Final Four.
It's not even close.
Not even.
It's not even close.
No. No disrespect.
No offense to the golf team.
Love the trophy.
I love the trophy.
Put it in the case.
That's awesome.
Celebrate him at a parade in 10 years.
Getting to a Final Four is a much bigger deal.
I would much rather have that.
I think he was on that team, but I can't remember.
Look it up. See that.
Aaron Wise was the main guy.
That was the one I remember.
Yeah.
Aaron Wise, yeah.
And he also was he came in only for a year. I think he was a transfer.
Mm.
So he came in at the end. Yes, according to Google AI.
So he might have a natty and two major championships, and you're taking the guy who was on a Final Four team and is largely
no, he did not. He was not on that team.
He was not on that team.
Yes.
Okay.
They fell just short that year, so he just missed it.
We have a lot to get into that we're going to dive into in the second hour of the radio program. So all the reporting, basically what I can tell you is, so we're off tomorrow. Tomorrow's the NBA draft.
Yeah, we will have a contingency plan in case we acquire Jaylen Brown in the middle of the...
You mean when?
When we acquire Jaylen Brown.
When we acquire Jaylen Brown.
In the middle of the Fangolf Classic, we can go hot, go live.
So if that happens, you know, we'll probably interrupt whatever is airing at that exact time to talk about it. But we are, unless something happens, off tomorrow. So we have to do a little bit of a peekaboo on the NBA draft.
Yes, tomorrow night.
And all of the intel coming out of the weekend. I'm not going to talk about Portland and him.
Mm.
But what I would say is it sounds like, and we've had a little bit of movement, most of what's going to happen is going to happen after the guy in Milwaukee is moved.
Yeah.
Which, according to Shams Charania and I believe Mark Stein, it's down to Boston, Miami.
Sounds like it's Boston or Miami.
There is no third team to get him unless everybody in the insider business is surprised. It sounds like the leaders in the clubhouse and the only two left fighting for it is Boston and Miami for the guy who was in Milwaukee. And I'm literally looking at the TV for breaking news. Okay, there's not. It's that he'll be traded before the draft.
Before the draft.
Thank you, ESPN.
For that.
for a breaking news. What are you, CNN? Hi, I'm
news.
Wolf Blitzer. Breaking
it's
news.
Raining outside.
Good Lord.
It's been up there all morning. It's been up there for like 2 hours.
Has it been up there all morning? I didn't put it on until right now.
What are we going to say if he doesn't get traded before the NBA draft? Do we have to retract that breaking news and apologize? Because this is a stamp we're putting down. He will get traded before the draft tomorrow.
This is not breaking news, though. Breaking news is that he's traded. This is why people hate CNN.
This is exactly why.
Hey, Wilco, I'm Wolf Blitzer.
I'm not going to lie, though. It worked for me. I'm looking up at the TV behind you, and I see the breaking news graphic pop up, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's happening right as we're talking about it. What's
and
the trade?
In red. You're
and
like,
then
yes.
It's Giannis Antetokounmpo trade, and then you read more coming before
ridiculous.
The NBA draft tomorrow.
It's ridiculous.
It does sound as if, though, we are out of the Giannis sweepstakes, that we gave our effort.
We've largely been out. But I think the good news for us would be.
I was told we were going to get him. I was told it was going to happen.
He'll sign the extension.
We got a deal in place. It's done. It's a done deal.
Didn't happen at the deadline. No. It's going to happen in the summer.
They were just waiting for the summer to do
it's
the gonna trade.
It's going to be for Shade and Jeremy, the picks, and he's going to. He was told that Giannis would sign the extension.
Yeah. I mean, best case scenario out of this is the only thing. Miami does nothing for us. Him going to Miami just sucks a million different ways. I Boston would be the best case scenario because then it at least allows you the ability to get involved in something and to get something out of it. Jaylen Brown being the primary target of that. I mean, I think there's probably a lot of Blazer fans would tell you they'd rather have Jaylen Brown than Giannis Antetokounmpo based on his durability, based on what he did this year in Boston, right? Like he's been at the forefront of people's minds in the last 5-6 years more than Giannis has. Hasn't stayed healthy late in the year. They haven't gone deep in the playoffs, I believe, since they won the championship. So it's been a minute for him. So, yeah, I mean, I think if you're a Blazer fan at this point, you're rooting for Boston to get that deal done so that we can get the ricochet shot, hopefully, out of that trade. If they come up in a week and we're talking about Giannis being on Boston and Jaylen Brown being on, like, Atlanta, that's going to be a real kick in the nuts of those were your two big fish in the offseason, and they are now swimming in a different pond.
I think the thing I wanted to get to, because I told my brother-in-law this. We were waiting to tee off on 17 or 18, and I just looked at him and I go, I can't believe I'm doing a show tomorrow and we don't have a head coach.
Still don't have a head coach?
I would have thought, certainly, if you would have like said, you can bet Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or next week. Those are your four bet options.
Of when a coach will be hired?
Here's $100.
Yeah, go put your money down.
I'm picking one of the first three choices. I'm not saying the week. The draft is tomorrow.
It's tomorrow night.
Right? We're not really involved. So to me, it's not like, oh, it's just more like the business of stuff is operating right now. This breaking news, Giannis will be traded graphic, could very quickly change to Giannis has been traded graphic. And I think what I'm sitting with is not that we're going to get him. I've given that up. It's more the idea of like, I find it really odd that he is going to get moved and we may not be a part of it in any capacity.
No, we might not.
Because all I was told when they got those picks were, well, when he moves, they'll be involved because we have their stuff.
They're going to want their stuff back.
That's all I've been told by numerous people that cover the NBA. And I'm like, okay, all right, I'll believe you.
Yeah.
And we've been featured and talked about, but now that it's down to two, and we don't know if we are going to be a third team involved in this.
And if he even goes to Boston, because if he goes to Miami, how are you a third team? What are you getting out of that?
Well, I'm just sitting here legitimately. I shouldn't be shocked, but I am kind of shocked that I came in on a Monday. We didn't have a head coaching hire, and I haven't heard a peep about us being involved in it. Maybe we will. Maybe we will get into the Celtic-Milwaukee trade in some capacity. If that happens, like, great. But it's just been interesting to follow from us being maybe a sleeper team in the main guy trade stuff to not even mentioned in conversations anymore. It's like completely we've died out of it. And so I'm coming in on a Monday, thought we'd have a head coach of our team. We don't still. And, you know, there's a huge trade developing in the NBA. It hasn't happened yet. but it doesn't appear right now that we are involved in it. If we are, we'll pass that along, but it doesn't appear we are.
No, and it's just close to monitor because this is the stuff that I'm totally fine criticizing Tom Dundon for, because this is the stuff that impacts me as a fan. The coach thing I just still don't understand. You get a new – by the way, we were down to two finalists, and then all of a sudden at the end of last week, there's another new finalist that nobody had mentioned the entire time. So you're telling me it wasn't actual two finalists the entire time? I've seen some people speculate that are they waiting to see what their offseason looks like depending on what coach you go get. If you don't land one of these big fish and you're clearly not in a win-now situation, do you go with a younger development kind of coach? Or if you pull off a Jaylen Brown trade, you're in more of a win-now window. Do you get more of an established coach? Like, yeah. I have a hard time knowing what to believe anymore, because for 2 weeks, everybody told me the finalists are this. And then at the end of last week, we find out there's another new finalist. So I don't really know where we're at. I don't know who's a finalist. I don't think anybody really has any idea of what's happening behind the scenes right now.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense why we don't have a head coach. I'm just trying to speculate. But it also, like, the offseason has been pinned on a big fish. Like, that's kind of what has been set up for an alley-oop, not by us in the media, although we certainly want to see it happen, but by them. Like, them talking about it at the deadline,
yes.
The rumors and reports of them trying to get Giannis and what they offered, and it didn't go through, but they, you know, Dundon apparently signed off on it. Like, this has been set up as, we're ready to go, it's win now time, let's go get a big piece. And if you get a Giannis domino to fall, and it's to Boston, and you don't get Jaylen Brown, or it's to Miami, and you're not a part of that deal, it becomes a very sticky situation quickly of, where do you pivot?
Well,
are you overpaying for something? And what's plan C or D or E?
Let's talk about that a little bit. Kick off the second hour. I got a lot more to get into. Dirt and Sprague, hour two. We'll dive into that on 105.1 The Fan.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.